week I've been praising the Lord for each one of you. You know, when you're doing a list of things every day you're thinking about that you're grateful for, you start realizing how many people in your life that God has blessed you with, you know? And it's actually been an emotional week for me because there were a lot of people in my life that you don't realize how much they've touched your life until you stop to thank the Lord about them. And you guys are one of that. And so thank you so much for, like Steve said, for showing up every week and for being here with us and for continuing to sow into the dream. We both feel like we are just this close to the next thing that God has for us as a church. So we are not giving up. We're going to keep on keeping on. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. We know in the supernatural what's happening. And sometimes when I'm worshiping, I can actually hear more people than you. It's very interesting. It's almost like, does he send down angels to come join us sometimes? You hear anybody else feel like that? Where it's like we're singing, but it sounds like there's this huge group of people singing with us. It's very powerful. And so I'm just waiting for the day when those people are here in the seats. Amen? And they're coming. That's what we're praising the Lord for. They are coming. And you know, it's important that we praise the Lord in our life and that we give him glory, because a lot of times what you have to praise the Lord for is going to bless somebody else. This week I had a friend that I had gone to elementary school with, and she had contacted me, and she had known growing up that I had only had one kidney from a surgery when I was an infant, but she thought I was born with one kidney. Long story short, she has a friend that has a baby that is yet to be born that they discovered it only has one kidney. And so she was like, can you remind me again, were you born with this or what? And so I just felt impressed to share the miracle of what happened to me. And so she came back with this wide-eyed emoji, wow, wow. She's like, is that okay if I share that story with my friend? And I said, absolutely. And I said, let me tell you another story. I was sharing with her, Rose, I was remembering back when, was it Ella that you had the, yeah. When Ella was, they did the first ultrasound with Ella, they thought there was something wrong with her. And we prayed, and by the next ultrasound, they couldn't find anything wrong with her. And people may say, well, they made a mistake the first time. No, no, they have pictures, they have proof, right? God did a miracle. And I told her, I said, you know what? God is still in the miracle working business. If he did it for my sister-in-law, he can do it for your friend. And she was just so excited. She's like, I can't wait to share these with her. And you see what that does? You're praising God for something he's done, but it's also giving somebody else encouragement in their life. Amen? And so that's what we have to do. We just got to praise the Lord in all things. Sorry, that juice this morning, I'm still swallowing it. And you know, the thing is that, like we're going to discuss today, is we don't just praise him when everything's going good. Amen? Now somebody say amen. We praise the Lord all the time. In Psalm 112, as we go on to the next part of his blessing, praise the Lord. Blessed or happy are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children, somebody say amen. Their children will be mighty, blessed, strong, helpers, heroes, outstanding warriors in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their house. Say in my house. And the righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. So we have a clear path for us, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. And good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice, doing what's right. And this is the next part. Are you ready? Surely. That means you could also put then or for. The righteous will never be shaken. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. And when I was researching this, it says he will never. So I looked up, what does never mean? Never means long duration. Let me see if I can pronounce this correctly. Antiquity. These are words we don't use anymore very much. Futuridity, always, forever, permanent, perpetually. Phew, I did it. basically it means it keeps going and going and going and going and going. Amen? That's how long it is. That's how long never is. They will never be shaken. And you may say, well, what if something bad happens? No, 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 no. You're standing on a rock. You're standing on a rock. You will never be shaken. You will never be shaken. What is that? Why is that important to know? It's important to know what you're standing on. You are righteous not because of your righteousness. You are righteous because of His righteousness. And He is the rock that we can stand on that will not move. So if the rock we're standing on doesn't move, how in the world can we be shaken? How can we be shaken if we're standing on the rock? So if you start to feel like you're shaking, I've been doing that a lot this week. Wait a minute. Why am I shaking? Get back on the rock. Amen? If you feel like you're starting to quake, if you feel like you're starting to falter, if you're feeling like you're starting to lose your security, you got to get back on the rock. Because if you're standing on the rock, what does He say? I will work all things together for the good of those who love Me, who are called according to My purpose. Do you love the Lord this morning? Then you are going to have everything work out for your good. So you can look at the circumstance and go, man, like at our house this week. I'm just laughing at the devil, right? So we already had our dishwasher break on us, and we're waiting for the repair guys. And this week I go out, and at the third time of starting my washing machine, I was like, I think there's a problem. It's not working. So I have two appliances, major appliances, that are not working this week. And I just laughed at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. You are not going to steal my joy. You are not going to steal my joy. Now, unfortunately, you cannot do your clothes by hand anymore. It doesn't work. So we were all prepared to go to the laundromat. And I don't remember what I was doing, and the Lord reminded me we have a neighbor that's in transition of building a house, so they don't really live at their house. They're living on their land, but they come back and forth for things and whatever. And He's like, call her. Well, I kind of let it go. I pull up into my driveway, and she's there. Okay, Lord, I'm going over. So I go over, and we've been blessing her over the last probably year. My boys, mainly Luke, has been going over and mowing their yard for them while they're gone, out of the goodness of his heart. And so he planted a seed that we're now reaping, because you know what she said? Absolutely, you can use my washing machine anytime you want. She's like, I finally get to give something back to your family. So it was a blessing for her, and it's a blessing for us. So yes, I have to walk across the street. But you know what I do as I walk across the street? Thank you, God, that I don't have to drive to the laundromat every day. Thank you, Lord. She's not even charging us. She's just blessing us. So we don't have to be shaken. We can look at these things and go, ha, ha, ha. Is that the best you got? I'm not going to be moved anymore. Because it says, I will never be shaken. So I don't have to be shaken anymore. And then the next part it says, and they will be, shaken means to shake, to slip, to be moved, to stagger, or give way. We have given way for too long. Now we need to remember, plant it on the rock. And then it says, remembered forever. This is a remembrance, a memorial, a memory of someone that's remembered for the good that they have done. So see, when you are not shaken, you're able to bless other people. And when you go back up and you combine it, what did it describe us as? If we walk in the light, we are gracious, compassionate, and we act right. We lend freely and are generous. That's what people are going to remember about us. They're going to think about us as Redeemed Church, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, wow, they did this and this and this, and they were always there for us. And that was one of the things that the blessing that came in this week was, it's someone we've prayed for. And they were like, my life is overflowing with blessings, and I realize that you are a part of that. And I want to bless back. Do you see what happens when you begin to walk as God has called you to walk? As someone who fears the Lord and delights in his commands, you're not just doing something temporary. It's eternal. Let me say it again. It's eternal. The lives that you're touching are going to remember you forever. Forever. Because of the good that you have done. I don't know about you, but this is amazing stuff that we are learning. But the coolest part today is you do not have to be shaken. Amen. And we need to know that. In the times we live in, we need to know we are not going to be shaken. You are standing firm on the rock. Amen? Amen. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much. Lord, we are so grateful. We come before you today with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father. It's a joy to give you our tithes and offerings. Because, Father, over and over and over again, you have proved yourself faithful. And you have blessed and blessed and blessed us, Father, to be able to be a blessing. And Lord, I just pray that this word would resound in people's hearts and minds this week, that they do not have to be shaken. When something comes that starts to maybe make them feel like they're moving or they're falling or they're giving way, something in their spirit is going to rise up and say, no, no. Devil, I'm reminding you, I am standing on the rock and I will not be shaken by this. Because when we're not shaken, Lord, then we have the authority that we need to speak to the wind and the waves and to tell them what to do. And that's what I pray you'd remind us, Father, the authority that we have as your children. In Jesus' name, bless every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower, 100-fold harvest today, Lord. We call it in from the north, south, east, and the west. And Father, for the people that you have to be here, that are supposed to be here, we call them in. Father, go, angels, and bring them in from the north, south, east, and west, that they would be able to come into your house and to be blessed, that they would be able to be set free and delivered. And Father, if there's people in our lives that we need to invite, help us to be bold and invite them to come in. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you that our harvest, Father, is not just going to be financially, but it's also going to be souls. In Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory today. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's make a declaration of faith over our giving to say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, go. I call in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, debt reduction and cancellation. The blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. I call in souls to be saved. My family and friends will be saved. My community, my nation will be saved. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord. Somebody just give God a great big shout this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a great victory he has won on our behalf. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. He's like, I remember in junior high, I used to play on recess football or soccer or basketball, and there was always that one kid you wanted on your team. That's Jesus. Somebody say, that's Jesus, right? Because you know it's a guaranteed victory if that guy's on your team, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we can dismiss the kids this morning, and we can click over. Thanks, Lacey. Praise the Lord. We love you, kids. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Amen and amen. Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. Hallelujah. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to do what I heard Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, do a couple times on CD over the past few weeks. He would start his message by saying, "Thank God for the blood." Somebody say, "Thank God for the blood." Hallelujah. And we're just going to spend some time this morning talking about the victory of Jesus. And you know, this is kind of the third of the trilogy of Jesus, Our Expectation series that we're on. Next week, my goodness, I think we'll be starting into Christmas. Woo! How fun is that? Glory to God. But I felt like there was another message here, and we're going to talk about the victory that Jesus won on our behalf. He is our expectation, and he's a great example of living in expectation. You know, Jesus has expectations. There are scriptures that indicate, even while he was enduring the cross, we're going to look at a couple of these things, he was not looking at the cross. He was looking at what he gets for enduring the cross. Kind of like David and Goliath. Remember that story? Well, we talked about that a few weeks ago. When David came to Saul and he talked to all the men who were cowering away from this Goliath, you know, this killing machine out there threatening, trash-talking God's people. And David said, "What's in it for me? What does the man get who takes down this uncircumcised, trash-talking filth that none of you all will do, right?" Hallelujah. And Jesus had that expectation, and he still does, right? I'm going to do what I did last week and trick you a little bit and skip to the last point of the sermon before we go to the top, all right? So point number E, if you have notes there. Somebody say, Jesus is my expectation. Hallelujah. And real quickly, expectation defined is words like hope, the thing I long for. Hallelujah. The thing I'm looking for and waiting patiently for. The thing I'm tarrying and waiting on God for. Dictionary.com defines it as anticipating the occurrence or the coming of. To anticipate the birth of. Oh, when you think about that, as we're heading toward Christmas, prophets of old were anticipating the birth of the Messiah, right? And now us on this side of the tomb, and the empty tomb, we're anticipating the return of Jesus. Glory to God, right? But we're also anticipating and looking for breakthroughs in our life. Amen? Synonyms for the word expect are words like to see it coming, to look for, to count on it, to foreknow. How do we do this? By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why there's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Ghost. I was talking, I think it was Luke this past week, we were talking about a cell phone and how kind of a phone is a good example, a little illustration of God. There's the physical mechanism, that's the body, Jesus. You're talking to the Father, right? And it's whatever your service provider is. You can't. It's not going to work without T-Mobile or Verizon or somebody, right? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And you can't get anywhere in God's Word, not very far anyway, without the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that helps you to foreknow something awesome is about to happen. I keep getting this recurring thing lately when I'm praying in the Spirit where God just says, "I'm going to dump it on you." And I'll see it in like a picture of a bucket or a wall, or it's like, whoa, but it's the blessing of God. It just keeps coming. I'm going to dump it on you. And I don't know what it is, but I know it's good. Hallelujah, right? I'm counting on it. I'm anticipating it. I'm looking for it. Glory to God. Okay. Now, point number H. This is from Jude. It says Jude chapter 1. Boy, if you want to read a whole book of the Bible in a day, just go to Jude, because there's only one chapter. And this is verse 3. And it says this, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, glory to God, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. Somebody say contend, right? For the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Man, you want to express appreciation to Jesus? Believe him for something. There are scriptures where he says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Faith pleases God. And he's reminding us here to contend earnestly for the faith. And there's great definitions for faith, where things like, one of the things that jumps out at me in our current situation in the world, in the nation, is a conviction. Oh, how does it say it? Conviction of the truthfulness of God, right? Reliance upon Christ for salvation and my constancy in that profession, right? So reliance upon Jesus for everything. Amen? My first response shouldn't be go to the doctor if something happens. My first response should be pray, take authority, bind the devil. This past week, I've had two surgeries on this knee, my right one. But this past week, or actually the past couple months, my left knee has been bothering me. And I don't know if I went jogging one day, like a couple months ago in the morning. I normally wouldn't do that. And it's kind of been gradually, well, Thursday, I'm on a job, and there's this deck about this high, and I'm doing a pest inspection. And the guy's, his house, he's like, why don't we go this way through the gate? I'm like, oh, no, I got this. So I grab hold, and I pulled myself up, and something went in my knee. It felt like an electric shock. Just, and I mean, I'm like, oh, Jesus. And the guy's like, are you all right? What happened? So I had to lay hold of God. I texted Shelly. The kids prayed for me. And man, I got a hold of a knee brace. It's like about noon. I got a hold of a knee brace. I'm wearing a brace right now. But look at me. I'm walking. Because I'll tell you what, that did not feel right. Something was not right in the natural, right? But, and then Friday, you know, you just stay on the word. Throughout the day, it got stronger and stronger, right? So I'm just believing God, and I say scriptures like, I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not faint. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is that kind of response to issues of life pleases Jesus. Our faith. Now, going to the doctor is not unbelief. Come on, right? That's just silliness. But my first response should be going to the great physician and then let him lead me through the process of our healing, right? Amen. But this question came up in me this week. This thing that I felt the Lord was prompting in me to share with you. And it's the question, it says, am I contending for him or am I contesting with him concerning his promises to me? God is looking for people that will contend. That's what Jude is saying right here. Jude is, I think, is Jesus' half-brother, even in the natural, right? But he says, I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, right? In other words, if it's in the Word of God, take it for yourself. Believe God for it. Don't argue with him about it or other people that are preaching it. If a minister is preaching healing and someone is saying, yeah, but it might be God's great plan for me to die of that disease, that's called contesting with the Word of God instead of contending for it. Amen. So you see what God is saying? He's like, I'm looking for some contenders. I'm looking for some Davids, for some Daniels, right? For some Sarahs, for some Rachels, for some Leahs, for some Marys, right? Some Esthers who will contend for the faith and not contest me about it. Man, it just dumbfounds me why people would argue with the faith message, for example, because they were taught or thought it was wrong. right? Amen. 2021, 2022 is all the more reason to prosper. All the more reason to walk in, hello, divine health. Amen. Because it's in the Word, right? Somebody say, I'm a contender. Now, contending for something means we're walking in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving to God and in expectation. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what Sister so-and-so is doing, or brother so-and-so is doing, or Reverend so-and-so is saying, or doctor this or that is saying. What's the Word say? What's the Holy Ghost saying? And that's what I'm going to contend for. There's things I've been contending for years. Haven't seen the manifestation of it yet, but it's still in my spirit. I still see it in the Word, and I'm not going to let loose of it. And I remember again Brother Hagin saying, he's in heaven now, right? In one of his CDs, he said, somebody was arguing with me about, well, what about all those people the Bible says died in faith without receiving the promise? And his response to that was, how else would you want to die? Dying in faith, that's a great way. Go home, believe in God, right? Hallelujah. Pass the baton. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back up to point B on your, really point A. We didn't read the foundation text either. But our foundation text for this message has been Psalm 62:5. My soul. Oh man, we got to do some talking to our soul. Because our soul is where the battle is. My mind, my will, and my emotions. Amen? That's why the Bible says we walk in the Spirit. Right? And it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about you and your spirit. Your spirit, man, has control over your soul if you'll give it to him. Right? Get hold of your soul by the scruff of the neck and say, hey, soul, listen to me. You're following the Spirit. I'm not following how you feel today. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, knee, we're going to church. We're setting things up. We're doing our thing. You're working. Hallelujah. And we got to talk nice to ourselves. I mean, it's easy to get down on ourselves. Oh, you stupid knee. Oh, you stupid this or that. Oh, come on, you idiot. No, we don't talk to ourselves that way, right? Be nice to yourself. Be nice to your flesh, right? Just remind it, it's not controlling the day. I know we'd like a fourth donut. But we had one, like, almost every day. One's plenty. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. We're going this way. There'll be a good, healthy meal for you. Yeah, I know you'd like a third coffee, but we need to drink this thing called water. I'm preaching to myself right now. Not you. Come on, soul. We can do this. Jesus is helping us. Jesus is cheering us on. Jesus is believing with us. Hallelujah, right? Amen. My soul, wait silently for God alone. Amen. Expecting. For my expectation is from him. Don't worry, soul. You don't have to figure this out. You don't have to understand everything. Mind, will, emotions, you don't have to figure God out. All we got to do today is trust him today. This week when we have all these this appliance thing going on, this is exactly what you want in the natural to happen when they're firing people and all, people aren't working, you know. The devil's out there throwing a tizzy fit, and then your washer breaks and your dishwasher breaks, right? And in the natural you're thinking, Sears guy might be a while. Well, guess what? And then my knee, you know, did that thing. But you know what? Never left the whole time. The peace of God has never left. No matter what's happening in my body, no matter what's happening in my dishwasher, no matter what's happening in the washer, what's happening at work or at home or in the family or in my own body, the peace of God does not leave. And I just need to remind my soul, hey, this is where we live, soul. We're not living in the feeling realm. Yeah, we do feel, I get it. Those, you know, God gave us the soul, right? He gave us, I guess, something to tame, right? Something to rule over. Hallelujah. Rick Renner said this in one of his articles, and man, what a ministry the Renners have. Moscow, and now they got a satellite that's reaching like 82 nations and Russia and all these places. And he said in one of his articles, if we can rule our own selves, right? I think he used the word conquer. If we can conquer ourselves, we can change the world. Woo! He's talking about the soul. Because whatever my soul is feeling, that's what my body will do. Right? But see, we've got it backward. The devil takes it and twists it around. Mind, body, spirit. Oh no. Flip that over, right? Spirit, mind, or soul, body. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. But let's look at the victory that Jesus won on our behalf and just look for his expectations, right? John 19:30. We're just going to do some bullet scriptures here. It's probably good that we read scriptures in church, right? John, you see someone visiting, oh man, all they got is a bunch of Bible verses on the outline. What's up with that? Somebody say, this is a word church, right? John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. That phrase, it is, he's in pain. It's been a rough day, right? Tortured, crucified. By the way, nobody took his life from him. It says right here, he gave up his spirit, right? And he said, it's finished. I've finished my course. This phase of my ministry is complete. I have fulfilled my expectations. Glory to God. Right? And he gave up his spirit. His spirit departed from his body. Now, Hebrews 12:2 says this. You know, when we're going through tough things in our life, I was listening to, who was that? They were teaching about Timothy. I think it was maybe Jesse Duplantis. And he was talking about Paul's letter to Timothy and what Timothy was experiencing as a pastor. And it was Brother Copeland. It was a faith to faith. And he was talking about Timothy and what he was dealing with as a pastor at that season of their ministry. And the church was relatively new. And you know, we've had to deal with COVID and these kind of things and weird leadership. They had to deal with, they're going to kill you. So he had people leaving the church because they don't want to die. And it just reminded me, you know what? Lighten up, Steve. These are some challenging times, but no one is risking their life for coming to church right now. Amen? Glory to God. This puts things back in perspective, right? And it was basically be a soldier for Jesus, right? Contend for the faith. Well, Hebrews 12:2 says this. We look unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Somebody say, looking unto Jesus. That's an expectation word. Looking to Jesus. That's an expectation word, right? I'm so glad, and you should be too, that I don't have to look to me. Because me has limitations. Right? No, we look unto Jesus. And then it goes on, the author and finisher. Somebody say, finisher, right? Of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, he wasn't meditating on the cross. He was thinking about the joy. He was thinking about you. Making heaven. Man, I don't know, that might have got me a little soulish at that moment. Hanging on the cross. And you might start thinking about all the millions of people, in spite of what you're doing, are going to reject it. are still going to die of diseases, are still going to choose hell. Not him. Not him. He probably was even thinking, you know what? If this is just for the guy that swung the hammer, it was worth it. What a Lord. What a Savior we've got. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. My, my, my. Talk about a promotion, right? Now we know God is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, but Jesus laid aside his glory. He did what he did on this earth as a man, right? And man, the glory that he received as he was raised again, wow. Wow. To be born, virgin birth, raised as a little kid, and go through everything that kids go through and everything that teenagers go through, and have his life cut off on this earth so you and I would not be cut off. That was his mission. Hallelujah, right? And what a promotion. Well, I want to look at, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 22. I'm just going to read this kind of quickly because I know we're time sensitive here. Psalm 22, I'm going to read the first 25 verses. And this is a prophetic word about what Jesus experienced that day on our behalf. It says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, he's on the cross and he's quoting this verse. He's quoting these verses. He sees himself in the word, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from healing me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry out in the daytime, but you do not hear. In the night season, and I am not silent. Verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. See, Jesus is in his worst moment in the natural. He's praising God. Wow, right? Hallelujah. That tells me I got no excuse. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, that was Jesus. That's where the church trips up. Like Jesus was doing some superhuman thing. Well, yeah, obviously. But he did this as a man, not as God. He did this as a man. Otherwise, he would not have been an acceptable sacrifice. Hallelujah, right? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime. Verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. Jesus is on the cross and he's already seeing past it. He sees the deliverance, not the destruction, right? Hallelujah. We got to keep this in mind where our nation is concerned right now. Don't see destruction in our nation. See the deliverance of a nation. Glory to God. What was that called? Expectation. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Verse 5, they cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. He's hanging on this cross naked. There's no loincloth like the movies. He's utterly humiliated and just beaten to death. His organs are hanging out. He's praising God to speak in faith on our behalf. Glory to God. Talk about a military victory. There's no greater military victory than this. By one guy. I want that guy on my team. Actually, I want to be on his team, right? But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Remember those stories? The Pharisees wandering around. Ha! He saved others, but he can't save himself. Wow, right? Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. This, you know, talking garbage to Jesus, right? But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. Verse 10, I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Now, who can say that but Jesus? From my mother's womb, you have been my God, right? Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. Now he's talking about the experience in hell. Demonic forces of evil have him in the pit of hell for that 3-day period. And, you know, it's spiritually, he died. Jesus died in every way a man could die. Otherwise, it would not have been an acceptable sacrifice, and we would have to die spiritually, right? They gape at me with their mouths like raging and roaring lion. That's why I love the Daniel in the lion's den right there. That's a symbol of Jesus. This is a representation of what was happening to Jesus in the pit of hell. See, the Bible, the Holy Spirit helps us to see symbolism in the Bible too. That's why one verse right here doesn't really prove, but this image proves this scripture and what Jesus endured, right? They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. See, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. Right? He's no man has suffered death the way Jesus did. Right there. In the pit of hell. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. This is all prophetically, you know, things that happened. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, right? Hasten to help me. Deliver me. He's expecting to be delivered, right? From the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. There you go, right? And from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. He's already claiming it, right? I know you're not going to leave me here. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. I'm coming out of this pit, and I'm taking people from paradise out of paradise and escorting them into the glory of God. Hallelujah, right? For you who fear the Lord, praise him. He's still preaching to us in that moment, right? All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. In verse 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him, right? Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, that is Jesus' expectation right there. At the worst possible moment of his life, he still was praising God, expecting his deliverance. And did he ever get it? Glory to God. Which means you and I get it too, by our faith in him. Whatever it is we're going through that feels rough, that feels off, that doesn't feel right, unbiblical, just stay on the word. Somebody say, stay on the word. Looking unto Jesus. Despise the shame of that thing. Despise the heaviness of that thing. Even if it's myself that's my issue. I'll tell you what, I'm preaching to me. I'm not going to get down on myself about that. Let's just keep looking to Jesus. He's the one that's bringing me through. Hallelujah, right? Mark 6:16-6 says this. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Hallelujah. Good news. Somebody say, good news is coming. Good news is coming. Good news is on the way. I'm expecting the good news. Glory to God. The word gospel means good news. I had a lady once that visited this church many years ago. And she told people that were close to me that my laughing and the joy that I had offended her. Because God is holy. Holy. And she said, oh, if my husband were here, he would not be happy. Well, she didn't come back. But I'm not changing, right? Can you see us getting to heaven? Woo! Yeah! And here's Jesus.
In this garden. You did that to me. How dare you be so happy? Look at this garden.
No! That ain't my God. Somebody say, he is a joyful God. For the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, lighten up. Sometimes being the light of the world means you go into a room and you just lighten the mood. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Revelation 1:18, we're closing up here. Jesus says, I am he who lives, who was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, he says. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. What was he doing down there? Kicking the devil's can and taking the keys that Adam had given over to the devil in the garden, right? He took those keys and was raised gloriously, hallelujah, which means he is the, somebody say, only way out. Somebody say, I'm with him. There were some bumper stickers over the past several years that said, I'm with her. I still see him around town sometimes. Somebody say, I'm with him. Now, she could be with him too, if she wants, right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm with Jesus. I'm with him. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Well, finally, we'll close with Romans 8:34. This is the Passion Translation. And it says this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Speaking, you know, of God's word, I know Lane just got a really cool Bible today. It's a New Living Translation, and it comes with an app that correlates with the scripture. You just look up the page number, and it gives you all this cool background information on it. And our kids have had a Bible club at the school. I'm saying this from the pulpit. Your church is going to partner with you in that Bible club, and we're going to help you get that Bible for those kids. So you guys can all be looking at the same stuff. Good idea? Get the app, got your Bible. Not to say the Bible you brought's a bad one, it's a great translation, but how cool would that be for those kids? They've had a Bible club going in the church. How many came this past? 14 kids in a public school. Somebody say glory to God, right? Hallelujah. I mean, they're having a rainbow class. They have a rainbow club. They started a Bible club. And kids are coming, right? So we're gonna feed you some stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think that would be great. Amen. Romans 8:34, as we close, says this. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. Anointed means burden removing. Condemn means burden on me. Anointed means burden off me. Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. Every time right now I see the word us, I think U.S. This is the Holy Ghost. Just he gave his life for the U.S. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. Glory to God. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for our triumph? Glory to God. That shows us where Jesus is now. Hallelujah. We're closing here. I watched a broadcast from Charles Capps the other day. I listened to it while I was driving around working. And they were talking about some physics thing or quantum physics about how an atom can be two places at once. It can be in one place and it simultaneously be on the other side of the universe. And they were talking about how Jesus can be everywhere. You can be physically here and yet seated at the right hand of God in your place. It was like, wow, how glorious is that? Somebody say, Jesus is praying for my deliverance, right? He's praying for our deliverance. He's praying for our triumph and our victory, right? It doesn't say here, you know, have confidence. Jesus is continually praying that you'll be able to hang on while the ship sinks. We watched an old episode of Magnum PI yesterday. And he was treading water. Like this boat ran over his little, whatever those little paddle boats say. And he had to tread water like for 24 hours. Some people think that's what the church is going to have to do. Oh, just hang on, hang on. No. Somebody say, help is on the way. Do a little search for Toby Mac's song, Help is on the Way. Glory to God. And that's the truth. I'll tell you what. Glory to God. Let's all stand up and just thank God for the victory that Jesus has won on our behalf. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the great victory that you have won on our behalf. We thank you that Jesus paid the price, so we don't have to pay the price. We just got to follow your voice, follow your leadership, live for you, keep our eyes on you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we put our expectation in you. Somebody just thank God to say, thank you, Lord, for what you did on my behalf. I keep my eyes on you. And I'm expecting breakthroughs. I'm expecting deliverances. I'm expecting miracles to come to me and also to flow through me to others, pointing them to you. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you, Father, for a peaceful Thanksgiving week from everyone's homes and families. If we're traveling or meeting together, everything is blessed to our bodies that we eat. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.